Hey everybody, welcome back to Broadway Babies. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, it's at Bway underscore babies, and on Facebook, Broadway Babies TV. We are here today to talk about live televised musicals.
Correct. Correct. Let's talk about there.
Let's unpack this. I have things to say about some. I have not very many things to say about others. The one thing I will say is that, the idea of these live televised musicals was very exciting to me just because having musical theater exposed to a wider audience, like on network television, prime time was, it was very, very exciting, and obviously it's great for our industry. That being said, there are some problematic things with a lot of these live musicals that we will dive into.
Correct. I was very excited when they started to announce the first one. Of course, this is one that isn't the first time that it had been attempted to do something like these live musicals, because I remember clips of Mary Martin doing her version on television. I don't re recall if it was live
Of
or,
Peter
well,
Pan.
yeah, I don't recall if it was live, but it had that feel to it. So I do remember seeing that version and loving it. And of course, back in the 50s and 60s, they had Playhouse 90, not musicals, but they were staged plays and written for television play-like. Kind of the setting was how they set it up. It was more like a staged play rather than a television show. But I thought it was great that they thought, well, hey, let's see if we can pull this together and bring some back something that would be fun for everybody to watch. So I was excited to see that. And I'm hoping once this is over, I know some people are like, please don't do this again, but I kind of like the idea. Like you said, it's bringing various productions to audiences, to some audiences who've never been to New York or don't have the opportunity to travel to see some of these shows. I mean, I love tours. I have to say that I do love the tours as well, but sometimes it's just kind of nice to be able to have it right there in front of you.
Yeah, I
You
mean,
know.
I think I'm not sure what the future of it is. I do know that there were a number of productions that were slated to happen, like Bye Bye Birdie with Jennifer Lopez. And
That's right.
because of the decline, steady decline, I guess, in ratings as these things were progressing, that was canned. I mean, I think that the I don't know exactly where the decline happened, but I know that with Rent Live, obviously, Rent isn't a family friendly show, and so to choose something like that to do as your prime time musical, and then to have to heavily edit some of the language and the subject matter, it's kind of like, well, why are you doing Rent? Why choose that show? That of all of the shows,
Right.
I've just thought, why? That I think it was a poor choice. I mean, I love Rent. I'm a big Rent head, but I think it
Right.
was a poor choice for something like this. And then with what wound up happening with their production, that was also really unfortunate. Which what happened with Rent Live is that at their dress rehearsal the day before their live broadcast, Brennan Hunt, who played Roger, towards the very end of the show, on the scaffolding, slipped, broke his foot or his leg, or
Yeah.
his ankle, something like that, and absolutely positively could not do the show. So they wound up televising that dress rehearsal, which had been filmed, where some actors will mark at a dress rehearsal. Some actors won't. There are two particular actors in that show that gave it 1,000%, and that is Brandon Victor Dixon, who, you know, we talked about during Jesus Christ when we were talking about the Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff with Jesus Christ Superstar Live, and Vanessa Hudgens, who just like I couldn't believe how great she was as Maureen, having seen her at the Hollywood Bowl where she played Mimi, which I didn't love her. She was phenomenal. So you know, both of them, neither one of them marked their performances at all. And so it was really great. And then, you know, at the end of the show, they had Brennan with the wheelchair, and they did From Your Eyes through the end of the show. They did that live. And then they brought in the original Broadway cast to sing Seasons of Love at the end, which that was probably my favorite part of all.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, so having a show that is probably not the best choice for a primetime thing on a Sunday night where you have your family around the television to watch a live musical, and then having what happened, and then having televising the dress rehearsal. There were just so many factors that made it not, you know, not great. But as I said, there were moments like Vanessa Hudgens up Over the Moon was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And Brandon Victor Dixon singing the I'll Cover You reprise. Just, I mean, I cry every time it comes to that point in the show. And I was bawling in front of the TV. So, yeah, I think for the most part, the rest of the shows that they have chosen to do live, and it's a couple different networks. It's NBC and Fox. Maybe ABC. I think one or two were done on ABC as well.
One.
So, you know, for the most part, I think the selection of shows has been good. Except for Rent. And that was just, I just remember hearing they were going to do Rent and thinking how. Oh, and then they were supposed to do Hair, and that was scrapped, possibly because of COVID, or maybe it was scrapped because of something else. But I remember them announcing that they were going to do Hair and thinking,
how are they going to do that one?
Is it possible? Like, literally every song in Hair is about something that you can't talk about on primetime television. You just can't. So that, I mean, that was scrapped. So that's fair.
Yeah. And I think the only way that they could probably do that is if they did it like straight to like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. There's no way on primetime. How do you cut that show down? You know what I mean?
I mean, you just, no, you can't. I mean, even the film version, which it's so problematic because they completely changed the plot and they added characters and they changed the ending. And as much as I loved the movie when I was younger, because that was all I knew, once I was able to do the show for the first time, I thought, this is what happens? Oh, this is so much better. But I don't see how it would be possible for them to do Hair. That's just a very odd choice indeed.
Great show, but not a primetime show. No.
Yeah.
No.
Did you see Rent Live? Did you see that one?
I did. I was interested to see how they were going to do the show. And like you said, I was like, oh, that was cut. Oh, that was changed. Oh, that's interesting. And I know they were, you know, they were pressed because of, you know, having to air the show, and one of their leads had a major injury. So I totally get that. But I wish they had postponed it I guess they just did not have the time to postpone it to get somebody else in there to do what needed to be done.
Yeah.
I was completely blown away by Vanessa Hudgens' performance. I thought she was spectacular in that.
I agree.
Like, nailed it. Well, then again, I also loved her in Grease Live. I mean,
yeah,
the poor woman had just gone through a personal tragedy, like the day before, I think.
Yeah, her father died the day before.
Her father passed away the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about actors, you know, stage actors are like, listen, the show must go on.
Just goosebumps thinking about her singing "There Are Worse Things I Could Do." Just
right.
It was so, you know,
she nailed it. And
knowing the personal tragedy that she had gone through as well, it was like, you know, I think we were all rooting for her at that point, just because, like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? And to be honest, like, I think I had just sort of, until that moment, until that show, categorized her as, like, you know, a child actor, High School Musical, and, you know, just kind of stuck her in that little box over there. And and I remember when she did Gigi on Broadway, and I was like, I don't know. But then I heard really good things. I didn't happen to see the show. But seeing the Hollywood Bowl production of Rent that was directed by Neil Patrick Harris, where she played Mimi, Aaron Tveit was Roger, and not loving her in that, just Grease Live and then in Rent Live, I'm like a huge fan of hers now. A huge fan of her. She's fantastic.
She really was. She was the thing that out of all the performances, hers is the one I remember the most, because I was just so taken away. I was like, that kept me watching the show.
Yeah.
It kept me there. I was like, I'm going to see what else, you know, how else is, you know, what else is going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Take Me or Leave Me was like a huge, huge, huge high point as well. The actress who was playing Joanne, I feel like she was, like others in that cast, kind of marking it because it was dress rehearsal. And, you know, sometimes if we're feeling a little under the weather, we save it for, you know, opening night or whatever. But I think it was just her gearing up to get to Take Me or Leave Me, because they were matched in every way. And that was like, that was a really big highlight.
Yeah.
I think Over the Moon, Take Me or Leave Me, and I'll Cover You reprise were like the things I remember the most. I don't remember much.
Remember a lot. Yeah, I don't remember a lot from that, but I do remember. I do remember that spot. It's not on my top 10 for sure. It's not. It definitely is not. But I'm grateful that people are really kind of coming into the interest they have for live theater now. There seems to be such a huge resurgence of that. And it's exciting to see it. It's great, you know, to see the community, you know, up in, you know, in front of the cameras so that people can see what happens. Although that's a whole different element in itself, is when you do live shows, I'm putting air quotes in them, live shows, on televised live shows, I should say it that way. It's still a different animal than it is even when it's a theatrical production.
For sure. Yeah.
Like what you're seeing as you're watching these shows, like, oh, well, let's go. Let's Peter Pan. We'll talk about that one. Peter Pan Live. It's still, I know, taking a deep breath. Because, I mean, even with the productions like they were live, it's still not theater, it's still not, but it's a great way to introduce the public to, you know, different performers. And because it wasn't Christian Borle who played Smee. Christian Borle was in that. Wasn't he in Sound of Music too? Wasn't he Max in Sound of Music?
He was in Sound of Music as well, yes.
Okay, there's a core, those two shows, those were the first couple. So those two shows, you did not have Broadway performers in the leads, but you did have them as core support or featured roles. I found that interesting because who was, okay, Max was, Christian Brohl was Max.
Laura Benanti.
Trader?
Laura Benanti.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Who?
Yeah. And Audra McDonald, which Audra singing Climb Every Mountain,
Climb Every Mountain
is pretty much the only thing I remember from that. Certainly the only positive thing I remember from that. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, like live tweeting about it and thinking, you know, I don't want to slam these people who are working their tails off to do this thing live on television, which, gosh, it's got to be terrifying in itself.
Yes.
Knowing how many more people are, how many more people's eyes are on you. It's not the fault of the performers that are on stage. It falls before that. It falls into the stunt casting, you know, stunt casting Carrie Underwood as Maria. Just, it was the... She's got a beautiful voice. She's got an amazing voice, but she's not an actor. And it showed. And I definitely feel for her because she was working really hard. And, you know, I don't want to take away from the work that she put in. She was just miscast, completely, completely miscast, as was Allison Williams in Peter Pan Live, because it just... Allison Williams as Peter, it just felt very flat to me. It was just, I was not interested. And I love the show. We did the show together when we were in university, you know, but it just, it was hard because I was excited to have, you know, these things happening. And the first two being Sound of Music Live and Peter Pan Live, I was like, you know, not as excited as I wanted to be. And yes, Christian Borrell and Laura Benanti, Audra McDonald in Sound of Music Live stole everything. Peter Pan Live, it was really, I think, Christian Borrell that's who I was.
Yeah, and Christopher Walken's tapping. Come on.
Christopher Walken's tapping. Yeah, this is true. So, you know, so having those two shows, and then I believe the next one was The Wiz Live. And I remember watching The Wiz Live and thinking, okay, now we have something.
We're ramping up. Right?
You know, throughout all of these like 10 or 11 or so live things that we've had, they've toyed with like audience and not audience, moving from soundstage to soundstage, which they did with The Wiz Live. I think Grease Live was the first to incorporate a bit of a live audience because they were running through like the Warner Brothers back lot.
And actually it worked for that show.
It did. But then Rent Live, they had a live audience, and it failed. For me, it failed miserably because it took away from the audience and the hooting and hollering and callbacks and all the things that were happening with the audience. To me, it was taking away from the dress rehearsal that we were watching on TV. Like it was distracting. I found it very distracting. With Grease Live running through the back lots and stuff and having the audience and seeing them that way, I thought that was fun. Like I found that entertaining.
Yeah. Well, and the dance at the gym, you know, when they have the big spring dance.
Yes.
It totally worked for what was needed. Yeah. And I thought that was appropriately done. Like you said, there are elements that work. Well, I mean, even, and I really didn't like this production, but I'm going to say they've incorporated audiences in theaters before with Xanadu. They did that. They had some people on stage as part of the experience, I guess.
Great Comet.
Yeah, so it's not like it's a new concept, but you're right. I think it works well for some. It doesn't work well for others. They had a live theater audience too for The Little Mermaid Live, which I really liked that version. I thought it was well crafted, I think, because there had been so many prior to this. It was ABC's production was like, okay, we know what works. We know it,
right?
You know, based on what was going on before this, we know what works and we know what doesn't. And I think that they really had a good handle on how to incorporate the production with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good mix too. As a matter of fact, Under the Sea, I could, that production number, I think they had like big balls that were like bubbles and people, it was like the audience was tossing them around from what I recall. And I thought that was cool. And then they had Max, and I've never seen a Max in any production. So it was so cute to see them. So cute.
Yeah.
Like a big goblin. But I was like, there's Max, he's there. it was just, well, I thought that was well done. And the casting of that was actually pretty doggone decent. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
All of the casting for that was good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was well done. And then they had, okay, so when they started the show, they had Jodie Benson come out and talk prior to, which
right.
was, I was like, oh, yes, this is perfect.
For those of you who may not know, Jodie Benson was the voice of Ariel in the animated feature.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Jodie is also, you know, she comes from stage. She's done that stuff too. So it's not like it was a new thing for her. Just like a lot of the voiceover artists from Disney, you know, did a lot of theater prior to. Going back to Sound of Music really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Had they cast Kelly Clarkson as Maria?
Mm-hmm.
I would have stayed for that. Like I would have been 100% invested in that. I think because what people don't realize is like Kelly is a legit soprano. It's just, she just knows how to use her voice for whatever is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like she can do that. Like she's a legit soprano. She did, you know, theater in high school. And I think after that she did some theater. So it's not like she doesn't know her way around. I mean, she was Lori in Oklahoma, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they cast it the way they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I mean, it was their jumping off point, right? It was their first one. They're like, let's cast, you know, somebody who is
going to bring in the numbers.
Going to bring in the numbers and then, you know, go from there. And, you know, and Stephen Moyer also as Captain Von Trapp, you
right.
know. I mean, I love Stephen Moyer. I love True Blood. That's one of my favorite TV shows. And I absolutely love him. I just feel that it just wasn't, I think he did a fine job. It wasn't really, there was no chemistry between the two of them whatsoever. Definitely way more chemistry between him and Laura Benanti. Laura Benanti, I remember, I think there's a Twitter handle for Laura Benanti side eye as well from Sound of Music Live.
She's so fantastic. I love her.
I want to see her. I mean, she's done enough like TV at this point where I want to see her in the lead role. Maybe they'll do My Fair Lady and she can, you know, do Eliza again, which Eliza was her dream role, and she replaced in My Fair Lady on Broadway. But you know, she had a recurring role on Nashville. She had that what was it, the Playboy Club, was that what it was called, TV series. She's been in tons of TV. So many Broadway actors have done.
She's funny too.
She's hilarious. Yes. So you know, I'm like 100% there to see Laura Benanti in any
I'm there
live
for that.
I don't actually care what it is. If they say Laura Benanti starring in, sign me up.
Right. It's like she's and it's like her and Audra McDonald and Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah.
Starring in. Okay.
Yeah. Right? And Sutton. Like, Sutton
well,
is,
yes.
You know, but, and Sutton, it's like she's had bun heads. She had,
I'm so mad
she's
they
had,
canceled that show.
She's, yeah, me too. I remember, like, participating in the whole petition campaign to save that show. And then Younger, of course, which I think they're just about to start airing the final episode. But, you know, she's also got 2 Tony Awards. And I think people know her well enough where if she was the lead in one of these live televised musicals, like, sign me. I mean, she's my favorite anyway, so sign me up for anything with Sutton. But yeah, I mean, I think there have been these kind of peaks and valleys with casting throughout all of these. Like,
right.
If we're gonna go back to Grease Live for a minute, I know we had actually started, to you listeners, Stephanie and I had started talking about live musicals when we were talking about the Andrew Lloyd Webber with Jesus Christ Superstar Live, and then we decided to dedicate a whole episode to it. So I just edited out all of what we most of what we talked about, especially when it came to Grease Live. And one of the things we talked about was the casting and how much older Aaron Tveit looked to Julianne Hough. And he is, I think, the same age John Travolta was when he played him in the film. But, you know, Julianne looks so young that it did make,
yes,
it did make him look older. Steph and I talked about this before. I didn't care. Like, it, to me, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John were in their 30s when they did the movie version of Grease.
He was in his late 20s. She's older than he is.
I think she was like 32 or something.
She's 28. She was 28 at the time.
Okay.
It
and
was
Stockard Channing.
Stockard Channing that was in her 30s, her early 30s.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I saw that movie many, 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 many,
and
many
were,
times.
And, listen,
and
didn't
never
care.
Even thought, they don't look young enough to be in high school. So when I saw Grease Live with Aaron Tveit, who happens to be one of my favorite Broadway actors, I didn't care. I was so excited that
mm-hmm.
he was, you know, that he got it, that he was doing it. And, you know, he'd had a couple of TV series up to that point. So I was just so excited to see that he was doing it that I didn't care that, you know, he looked a little older than her, and or he looked a little older than the other people in the show. I really enjoyed Grease Live. It's one of the few that I've watched more than once.
Yeah,
I've watched Grease Live more than once. I've watched Jesus Christ Superstar Live more than once. The rest I've only seen when they aired. But I, you know, I loved him. I thought that he had exactly the right amount of charm that Danny Zuko needs to have. Maybe he wasn't quite, you know, tough enough. You know, we need to roughen him up a little more around the edges. I found the same thing with Rent at the Hollywood Bowl, where he played Roger. He was just too, his voice is too pure. You know, it needs to be a little,
got it.
A little,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like Adam Pascal has just got this great rock tenor. He's a rock, you know, he's a rock singer. So, you know, Roger kind of, it's kind of his thing. He's a, you know, a rock singer. So,
right,
so
right.
I, though I
yeah.
did love seeing Aaron in that role, and he was beautiful, and his, you know, drawn on tattoos were fantastic, and I love his voice. It was just far too sweet. So I found that was the only thing that I found with Grease Live, was that, you know, he was just a little bit too sweet. But Grease Lightning was so fun. I loved
yeah,
Grease Lightning.
That whole production was really enjoyable to watch. I just
mm-hmm.
from the get-go, you know, from when Jesse J was singing and taking us on that little tour, I was like,
yeah.
I'm invested.
Yeah.
Because it really kind of talked to me, because I love behind the scenes stuff. So, you know, even as I'm sometimes watching shows, I'm like, I wonder how they did that. I wonder how that came through. I wonder what the rehearsal looked like for this. I'm always in my head thinking that. Must have been fun to rehearse or whatever. So it was nice to see, you know, things that we don't normally see, you know, the stage manager calling the show as it's going, you know, that was cool.
I think it was like every commercial break. Yeah, they, you know, they were on the little golf carts going from soundstage to soundstage. So that was it was really fun. And that's, you know, there were people outside cheering, and you know,
I totally enjoyed it.
Upped the kind of excitement of and the feeling of it being live.
Right, right.
You know, because you can sometimes forget and think, oh, you know, I'm just watching like a filmed musical, but no, they actually were singing live. It was not pre-recorded.
Kiki Palmer,
as
Frenchie. Oh my god, I love me some Kiki Palmer. Let me tell you, I love her so much. When they did that Tearaway, when she was singing Freddie My Love, I think that was it. I was just, that girl is too much for me. I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
Love her. I wish that they had done Cinderella live with her. I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, that would have been great.
Oh, Kiki Palmer, I love her.
Kiki Palmer.
Yes. And you can't just say her first name. It has to be the full name.
It has to be the full name. Yeah.
Yes. Even my dogs love Kiki Palmer. Fine. So, yeah, I have to say between Grease Live and, of course, I love The Little Mermaid with Queen Latifah. She was so good.
Yeah.
And The Wiz Live. Now,
The Wiz Live.
That one hit me on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. But when at the top of the show, and if you haven't seen this yet, and it's, I'm giving you a spoiler alert, and I'm thinking, why the hell am I giving a spoiler alert? Because this has been out for a while. Anyway.
Just a minute or two.
When Stephanie Mills comes out as Aunt Em.
Yeah.
I cried.
Yeah, me too. I think everybody, anybody who knows and loves The Wiz, I think probably cried. I cried. I thought the casting of The Wiz Live was fantastic. Amber Riley and Uzo Aduba, I just have like the two of them in just everything until the end of time.
Agreed.
They were just they were so great. And I loved Shanice Williams, who played Dorothy. It was like a whole nationwide open call search thing,
right,
which they also did for Hairspray Live, which, you know, these are two of these, the only two of these live musicals where they cast,
where they
like, I mean, it's
name.
Really like completely unknown young women right out of high school. And Shanice Williams, just, I was waiting for The Wiz to be revived on Broadway. And I think there was talk about it. I don't know.
There was talk about it.
I don't know. They were considering her, if I recall correctly, but she was so great. And her poem was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just, when you see somebody like that, that's like 17, 18 years old, imagine the pressure. Network television, primetime, live. This is like
she handled it beautifully.
She was just a pro, and she was just incredible. And, you know, we were just rooting for her through the whole thing. It was just,
I loved it so much. Of course, that show's my jam. So and then you had David Alan Grier, and probably one of my favorite roles, favorite parts of any version of The Wizard of Oz, which was who was the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah.
Who, it never fails. Every time I've seen a show with the lion, and I've seen a lot of them working in children's theater. I've seen a lot of shows.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to say, those three roles, the Tin Man, the Lion, and the Scarecrow, if if you don't have the right combo, yikes.
Yeah.
But the trio that she had with her was fantastic.
Yeah, I think that was the third one that was done. I think it was Music, Peter Pan, and then The Wiz. And I think The Wiz was a really, really great choice of a show. And it was so fun. And the casting was great. Everybody was wonderful in it. I really, really loved The Wiz Live. Like, I think in just sitting and looking at my list right now, I think that is probably my favorite of all of them.
Yeah, first watch, yes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I also really loved a lot of things about Hairspray Live. There are a lot of things I love. First of all, bringing back Harvey Fierstein to play Edna was a stroke of genius. That was just...
It was a smart move on
their
part. It
was so, so, so smart. And then it was Maddie, I'm sorry if I'm not saying her name correctly, Maddie Baleo, who won the open call, and just she was adorable. Of course, Kristen Chenoweth, I mean, yes, and
perfect.
Dove Cameron,
and then Dove Cameron
is, yes,
perfect.
And I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, Dove Cameron should play Glinda when they do the Wicked movie, and I kind of do like the idea of that if she has that
does
kind of range. I don't know if she does, but I mean, obviously, looks wise
she
and everything.
Range,
you know,
go
she,
for it.
Yeah. But Jennifer Hudson just had me sobbing, sitting in front of my television by myself, sobbing. It was just, I thought it was so well done. And again, just great casting. A great choice of a show. I that's probably, I'd say if I had to rank them, I would probably be like in third place. I think I'd put Grease Live would edge it out just a little bit just because of Aaron, you know.
All right, got it.
But there were just so many really fun things about that show. Oh, and Derek Hough was in that as well. Just a really great cast. I thought it was
Courtney Collins.
I thought it was just really well done. I really enjoyed it. I felt like they were kind of on this trajectory with these live shows of like, okay, these are getting good. It was a good combination of known, like more kind of household name known actors and unknowns, or, you know, folks from Broadway or whatever. I thought it was a really good combination of people in that particular one.
Yeah. I think if they said, okay, we want to relaunch the show, let's take this cast, that would have worked perfectly for me.
Yeah.
Like I am not a huge Travolta fan of that, of him in Hairspray at all. Like, I'm like, why didn't you just call Harvey?
It was probably because they thought that he was more of a household name than Harvey, because he is more of a household name than Harvey.
He may have been, but there are enough names in that show, in that movie, that it wouldn't have been a big, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
I totally agree.
Because you had Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know.
Tell me she's not a movie draw.
I know.
On her own. I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer and Christopher Walken.
James Marsden.
Right. You can't tell me those names won't draw in an audience.
Queen Latifah.
And especially James Marsden at the time.
Yeah, because the X-Men. Yeah. I know. Queen Latifah.
I will never understand that. Understand that casting.
Yeah.
And I love Travolta. I do. I absolutely love him. And I know he is, I know he got his start on Broadway. I know that. But
no.
That role. Mm-mm.
No, it should have been Harvey. It really should have been Harvey.
It really should have been Harvey. And I think people, I think most folks understand that, which is probably why they were like, Harvey, we need Harvey to come back.
Yeah.
That's another one that's in my top five.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. There are a couple that I either didn't see or I saw part of and not the whole thing of. One that I saw part of and I never saw the whole thing was A Christmas Story Live, which I really wanted to see because the music is Pasek and Paul, who, you know, Dear Evan
Love
Hansen
them.
And
yes.
Greatest Showman and Oscar winners for La La Land lyrics. But I missed a big chunk of it. I, for some reason, the things that I remember from it, as I remember a fabulous tap number that Jane Krakowski did, which just Jane Krakowski, yes.
It's Jane Krakowski.
Just Jane Krakowski, like Jane Krakowski and She Loves Me was just like unbelievable. But yeah, so
right?
This great tap number with Jane Krakowski, Maya Rudolph, who like I love Maya Rudolph, and the kids, you know, we've talked about shows with where they're great kids, and the kids in A Christmas Story Live were phenomenal. So unfortunately I didn't see the whole thing, so I can't really say if I loved it or if I didn't love it. What I saw, I really enjoyed. Like I said, that tap number really stands out, and I'd be curious to see if that's up on if that is up on YouTube, that tap number. I'd like to see that again.
It probably is. I know that you can get, well, this was during the Christmas holidays, I know on Amazon they were either streaming it or you could rent it or buy
it.
Christmas Story.
Yeah.
I did watch the entire show and I really loved it. I love Maya Rudolph. So just about anything she's in, I'll watch. And Jane Krakowski, who, by the way, if people are listening, Jane Krakowski would make a great, she would be great in Hairspray as well.
Yeah, she would. People don't realize how long Jane Krakowski has been around. Like when we talked about Starlight Express in our Andrew Lloyd Webber episode,
right.
Jane Krakowski was in that. You know, she was in.
But she's been around for a while.
Was it Ally McBeal? Ally McBeal she was in?
Yeah.
Ally McBeal. Yeah, so she was in Ally McBeal. You know, people know her now primarily from like Kimmy Schmidt, which she's
right.
just hilarious on that. But she's been like a Broadway staple since the 80s.
She's been him.
And she is just that woman. She doesn't age. She can still do a full split.
God bless her.
She is just incredible. So yeah, I mean, what I saw, I really enjoyed.
They needed to have her in one of these live shows. She's definitely an asset for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to be honest, I don't remember a lot of the show. I do remember that I actually enjoyed it. I'm like a huge A Christmas Story fan anyway. Like I love
yeah,
the movie.
Me too.
So for me, it was nice to see it unfold in this light. I just remember no takeaways of this being, of that production being horrible mm-hmm. or bad, or it was a nice little lovely production. And I thought it was done really well. The kids were amazing in it. Like you said, it was nicely done. That's all I can remember. I was like, oh, that was really sweet.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there was
really.
Another live Christmas one that came out, this past December, which we touched on in our holiday spectacular episode that neither one of us watched, which was The Grinch Live. And I just have written down next to it in my notebook, nope. And that sounds awful because I'm sure the people were in it. Starred Matthew Morrison. I'm sure there were great performances. I'm sure that, you know, there were great things about it, but I had zero and still don't have any interest whatsoever in seeing The Grinch Live.
Same.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
I like the Jim Carrey movie version, but really I'm like an OG Grinch. Just show me the animated.
Same. Just show me the animated.
And
We're
I'm
good.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, so we don't really have much to say about that. If you guys have seen The Grinch, let us know what you thought about it. You can comment below. You can hit us up on social media. And let us know if you saw it, what you thought of it. The only other one that we talked about it in our Andrew Lloyd Webber episode, and you know, I'm sure we still have a few things to talk about it, was Jesus Christ Superstar Live. I know we talked about it in our Andrew Lloyd Webber episode. Again, I just want to say Brandon Victor Dixon. We didn't talk about Sarah Bareilles, and we didn't talk about Alice Cooper. So I think Sarah Bareilles did a great job, you know, having that kind of that the voice that she has. It is very well suited to play Mary and to sing I Don't Know How to Love Him. And she was a theater kid, you know, like she did Waitress on Broadway. She replaced on her show. But Alice Cooper pretty much, I think, stole that show, like in his, what, 5 minutes that, you know, that character
was
in that
brilliant time. Casting.
It was
brilliant.
Perfect.
Casting.
Yes. I loved it. I was smiling. We talked about last week about John Legend and, you know, how I thought that a lot of people didn't like him.
His interpretation was well suited for that particular production.
I think his voice, he's got a great voice, and I think that it was surprising to a lot of people that he was able to handle the material the way he handled the material. And you know, if you've got a great voice, you've got a great voice, and it's not legit musical theater, so you know, I thought that he was well suited. I thought that he, you know, for what it was, I thought that he did a great job. I really enjoyed it. As I said, I watched it when they replayed it last Easter. I watched it a second time.
I hope they play it again this Easter season. I'm hoping they will.
Yeah.
It looks like it's becoming the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And
I love that a live musical is, you know, if that, it's kind of like with Jesus Christ Superstar the film and with Godspell, they're played every Easter. So I think it's
well
kind
seen.
Of a great thing to have it actually be a live production like that. And that last shot.
Kudos to whoever thought that up.
Yeah.
Whoever thought that up.
Beautiful. For those of you who haven't seen it, just look online for Jesus Christ Superstar Live last shot. It's just stunning. It's like
the last shot.
Yeah. And it's a long shot.
It literally is the last shot.
It's the last shot. It's long. It's extended. I think that my mouth dropped to the floor and I just stared at my television until it was over. I don't think I blinked. And it happened the second time I saw it as well. Same thing. I was like, my breath
shot.
Just, it took my breath
Lord.
Away completely. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, it's the kind of shot that you're like, I wonder how they could recreate that on stage. Like they'd have to.
It would have to be like projections.
Or they could have it not up close in your face, but at least downstage and then just move him back and then move into projections, like you said.
Yeah.
Because
that
would be so beautiful to end it on that note.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was just gorgeous. So that, you know, they're trying to cancel Grease, right? She shouldn't have to change for, you know, she shouldn't have to change for a guy. And maybe I'm going to lose a couple viewers right now for saying this, but let me just say this. Grease was written about a time and was written and originally produced in a time where the times were different. Things were different. You know, when Stephanie and I were growing up, we didn't look at it like, oh, this is, you know, sorry, I'm not speaking for you. I'm just saying when we were growing up, I didn't look at Greece as like, oh, she's changing for the guy and that's not right. And so that shouldn't be a musical. It didn't enter my mind. I just enjoyed the musical. And I think that there is a sensitivity now for things that people should be sensitive about. And then there's things like art where, you know, as I said, this is a show that was written about a time, the 1950s, and written in a time, the 1960s, yeah,
when the show was early written, 70s, right?
Where it just, this is a snapshot of a moment in time. And that's how, that's what things were like then. Doesn't mean that it's right now, or it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong or anything. It's a snapshot of a time, as is Porgy and Bess, as is, you know, a lot of shows that people are saying, oh, they shouldn't be produced anymore. I think there was talk as well about Oklahoma at one point. These are snapshots of things that happened in this period of time that this show is written about. And I don't think that we need to erase it from existence. Maybe we can watch it and learn from it.
Right.
Learn how not to be, you know, but I don't think erasing it is the right take.
Anyway. You're right. The other thing is with Grease, especially the original was far darker than the movie. As a matter of fact, the authors of the play of the original stage version were banned from being on set because they were doing so many changes to the original show.
Mm-hmm.
I think within the first week, they weren't allowed back on the set because so many things were changing. They had to get the rating, the screen rating they wanted.
Right.
Because the show was way darker.
Yeah, definitely.
It was way darker. As a matter of fact, I honestly think if the Danny Zuko and the T-Birds saw the T-Birds from the movie, they'd want to kick their ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
so different than what we know as Grease.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what most people know as Grease. If you saw the original play like I did, it was a little surprising when it came to the movie theaters, but I loved it anyway, in spite of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we can learn from. I know there are certain things in my childhood that I watched that I look back and I'm watching, I cringe now, like, oh God. As a matter of fact, I tried to watch something the other night that I thought was hilarious when I was younger, but now I watch it and I'm like, super cringy.
Yeah, there are so many. I mean,
cringy
70s television shows, and you know, there are definitely a lot of cringeworthy things that,
like, early 80s movies, some of those early 80s movies, I was like, oh my gosh. I can't watch that again without cringing.
It just happens that Grease took place in the 1950s, where things and language and behaviors were a little different than what we knew when we were teenagers, and certainly what teenagers know now. But I really don't think that erasing things like that from existence is the, you know, like we said, learn from it.
Well, here's the thing,
you know,
is it done? The movie wasn't done as a teachable lesson.
No, not at all.
So for people to have the takeaway that, oh, this is teaching this or that, you make your teachable lesson from that particular show. Mm-hmm. This was not an after school special.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I think people look at everything now as, you know, what is it, what is it teaching? But that's not what art
it may not
is.
Have been done right. It may not have been done as a teachable lesson. That particular show was done as just a remembrance of a more for them. I'm not saying for me, because there's no way in hell I'd want to go back to that time.
Yeah.
But me as a Black woman, no thank you.
Yeah.
As a more pleasant time for them. Like, my mom grew up in this era. You know, she grew up in the late 40s, early 50s. I mean, that was her time period. Uh-huh. So her memories of growing up and going to, you know, elementary school and junior high and high school, she had nothing but good memories about growing up in that time. But where she's from, she's from Illinois. I mean, and Greece was originally from two guys from Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, so, but for her, she remembers things fondly. There wasn't anything, she didn't have too many issues with stuff back then. Not that it wasn't happening to her and around her and all of that, because she does remember segregation and civil rights movement. I mean, she remembers all that. But her growing up times, she remembers very fondly. She remembers, you know, her neighbors and, you know, the lady that lived across the street, or they had my grandparents owned a boarding house. So the family lived in the bottom part, and she had boarders on the second floor. So she remembers all, you know, the nice old lady that lived in one of the rooms that would, you know, treat them to graham crackers and the, you know, some candy or something like that. I mean, she has not, now if you think about it, you're like, oh God, you're taking stuff from.
Right.
That's another thing. I'm like, but see, that's how I grew up. We grew up with nice old people that didn't want to try to poison you or take you away anywhere.
Exactly.
They were just nice old people that gave you peppermint, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So you have those memories. And it's not to take away from the whole changing. All I'm saying is that their memories are things that they hold to them that are different than this time period now.
Mm-hmm.
What we're living in now and how we're living now, maybe it's that hindsight thing. Well, maybe people are different now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And even in hindsight, there wasn't a lot of the craziness that was going on today that was happening then.
For sure.
I don't know. It's a totally different time period.
Totally different. Yeah.
And even growing up and watching Grease, I never got, the takeaway for me was never, I need to change my style in order to be with the person I like. That was never my takeaway from that. My takeaway was like, I have to see this again.
Singing and dancing.
Yes.
On the bleachers.
I must see this again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me too.
We must see this again. I'm here for the music. I'm here for the dancing.
Yeah.
There was a moral. There was a theme.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that they do bring back the live shows.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm also hoping is that they incorporate more performers from stage who may not be known.
Yeah, I agree.
For film or television.
You know, if you guys have any ideas of what you would like to see as the next televised live musical, be sure to let us know.
Don't say bear, because there's no way that's going to happen.
It's fun to have the conversation.
I mean, they'd have to cut that bad boy up.
Yeah, right. And so it was really fun kind of reminiscing on those televised live musicals with you.
I enjoyed this. I just hope they do more. I just don't know what shows, though. I mean,
yeah,
there's so much out there and content wise,
what's gonna you know, have appeal and all these kinds of things. But you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get to see more, and that we'll get to see some more of our favorite stage actors taking on larger roles in these things. It has been great talking about these live musicals. We will see you again really soon. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @BWay_babies or on Facebook, Broadway Babies TV. And until next week, I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson. We'll see you again.
Bye.
Bye.